1819, Hernan Cortes made a decision that would echo through history. Upon landing on the shores of the New World, he faced impossible odds. Outnumbered and surrounded by uncertainty, he gave an audacious order: burn the ships. With no way to retreat, his men had one choice: fight to succeed or die trying. And they did succeed. Cortes' story isn't just about conquest, it's about commitment. It's about making bold decisions, eliminating excuses, and going all in on your vision. Welcome to Burning the Ships, the podcast where we explore what it means to take risks, push boundaries, and refuse to look back. I'm Jason Seward, your host. In each episode, we'll share stories, strategies, and insights to help you tackle your challenges head on. Overcome obstacles and make your own history. This is Burning the Ships. Let's get started. Welcome to Burning the Ships Weekly Ramble. I'm your host, Jason Seward, and today we're going to be talking about dealing with adversity, but not so much as an adult, but how to help your kids deal with adversity, how to help kind of shape their perspectives around hard things and struggles and things like that. And also how to deal with success as well, build humility and things like that. And like all the topics I talk about, these are from my perspectives, my experience, stuff like that. So I am not dogmatic on any of these opinions or perspectives, but it is, you know, what I have observed, and I get to share that through this podcast, my thoughts around those things. So as the name entails, it's a weekly ramble, so I'll go in a bunch of different directions here. But before we get into all that, I'm going to do JJ's joke of the week. And this week, his joke is, what is brown and sticky? A stick. And that is JJ's joke of the week. That's kind of goofy, but all of them are. So we enjoy that. Thank you, JJ, for sharing another joke, and we'll keep doing that every episode. So now, on to the topic of the day. Again, adversity. We talk about that a lot with a lot of our guests, how they handle adversity, how they handle roadblocks and hurdles and struggles and things like that. A lot of the guests we have on here have a very similar mindset around all that, and not only do they welcome adversity, and they use it as fuel. They use it as education. I recently got to go on another podcast where I specifically talked. The entire podcast episode was on a bad real estate deal that I was involved with. So I got to talk through every little minute detail about that deal, how I handled it, what I learned from it, things like that. And that particular deal, I'm not going to go into those details today, but at the end of it, I did lose a little bit of money, not a ton, but a little bit. And I shared this on that podcast that my perspective, all the math kind of ironed out and I realized that, I was in the red on that particular deal. I can look back on it and see that was relatively a very inexpensive education. Right, because I learned a lot through that adversity and, the headaches and all that came with it. But I learned an awful lot through it that, like, if I had taken that same amount of money that I lost, and it was a very minimal amount. I think when it was all said and done, I lost like $500 on that deal. So not a big deal. It felt like a $50,000 loss because I was projecting to make a $50,000 profit, and then a bunch of surprises came up and adversity, and ended up being a $500 loss. Well, that same $500, if I had spent that on some type of course or education about all the things I learned in that one deal, I would not have gotten near as much value as I did actually going through that adversity. So don't know where I'm going with that, but the point is, talking about adults and, entrepreneurs and folks that, not just entrepreneurs, just adults in general that have faced a lot of adversity, they have a different perspective of how to deal with it, how to leverage it to their benefit and things like that. They have a different perspective through experience than children do. So what I'm going to talk about today is that, children. And I've got, you know, as you all know, I have two young children, a 13-year-old daughter, Emma, and an 8-year-old son, JJ. And so one of the things that, and this is relevant from a time standpoint as we're getting ready to kick up, like our baseball season for my son. He just wrapped up his wrestling season. He'll continue wrestling through the spring. So I'll tie a little bit of that in there as well, wrestling. But getting ready to kick up baseball. And my daughter is in the middle of swimming, like training for her summer swim season and stuff like that. All those are, you know, come with some form of adversity. So I'm going to talk through it, like how me and Katie, as their parents, how we view them going through adversity and hard things and struggles, and how we've elected to handle those things, approach them, help, you know, not just help them through them, but help them think through adversity and hard things and things that suck and all that. And a lot of that, how we choose to teach them, comes from, you know, our experiences as well, dealing with adversity through various, you know, personal and business things. So we kind of have the experience to lean on that adversity is a good thing, right? And usually, like, this is what that I tell both of my kids, and they're both at ages now where they can understand this and you know, kind of lean in on it themselves. But like that feeling you get from thinking you can't do something, or thinking you can't, initially thinking you can't accomplish it, but eventually through like just keep pecking away at it and working hard, you start to realize, oh, I can accomplish this, and then ultimately you do accomplish it and you feel better. That, I don't know that there's many better feelings in life, right? And we talk to our kids about this. Like, there's a lot of things as a child, you know, naturally you just want to run away from things that seem hard, things that seem impossible, right? So as a parent, if we allow them to do that, then we're not teaching them to be able to struggle through things, to be able to figure things out. Like, that's, I don't know how many times a day I say this to my kids, figure it out, figure it out. I know, figure it out, figure it out. I say it over and over and over. They know it's coming. And they're starting as they get older, especially my daughter. Like, I've been saying this to her since she was, could understand words. She's 13 now. So years of me saying it, and then her ultimately realizing, oh, I can figure these things out, has taught her to have this mindset of, not only can I figure things out, but I, like, she enjoys hard things. She enjoys trying to work through complex situations and stuff to some degree. She's still a 13-year-old girl that's going through all the emotions and hormones that come with her age and where she's at in life. So there are days where she ain't trying to figure nothing out. She just wants to be left alone. And if you get near her, you're going to get whatever spills out of it, because she's coming with the heat. But overall, she has learned that the best way forward and the best way to learn and grow as a person is to figure out adversity, figure your way through it and stuff like that. My son, he's still learning that. But again, I've been preaching it to him since he was very little. So they have this mindset and this understanding at a very young age that when they think something's insurmountable, that you know, it's a mountain that seems unclimbable, they understand that if they just put effort forth and they really put their brain into it and their effort, and physically and mentally, physically when it comes to sports and stuff like that, mentally when it comes to just solving puzzles and complex situations or school or whatever, but they know that everything can be figured out through effort and hard work. And then the results and the reward on the back end of that is, like, when you've worked through something that seemed impossible and you actually get through it and you make it possible, there's no better satisfaction in life. And that goes for anything. So how do we do this? Well, we've got quite a few. Like every day is filled with opportunities for us to make a choice as a parent, and those choices are around how much are we going to help them out, right? And these are endless, and down to minute little details that seem maybe not that important or not that much of a big deal, but the accumulation of these small things over a long period of time are a very big deal. So I'm going to share a couple examples. These are just around the house, right? So, how many, I know everybody's listening, has had, their kids are sitting on the couch watching TV, or they might be playing a game or something like that. And hey, dad, or hey, mom, can you get me a cup of water? Or can you bring me a snack? Can you bring me a popsicle or whatever it is? And as the parent, right, your instinct is, oh, I'm standing here. Yeah, I'll do that. And, but we don't do that. Very rarely do we respond with, sure, I'll get it. Now, they understand in certain situations that, we'll help them and they'll help us because we ask them to do same things. But if they're in a position where they're capable of doing it themselves, now this isn't adversity. There's no adversity here. We're just trying to teach them. This is one piece of it, to teach them to not always default to trying to get somebody else to do something for them, right? The default mode should be first thinking, can I do this? Can I figure this out? How can I do this? So when they're sitting on the couch watching TV, yelling across out into the kitchen for us to grab and bring them something, absolutely not. Like, no, you can get up and get it yourself. And that might seem harsh. It might seem very easy. If I'm standing by the freezer to grab a popsicle and hand it over to them, very simple. And we do that sometimes again. But overall, I want them to not even have that mindset of asking everybody else to cater to them, to do. Now, there's nuance here. I also want them to be leaders, right? And part of good leadership as they get older or on sports teams and stuff like that is knowing how to professionally delegate, right? To knowing what, how to identify things that maybe they're not strong at and fill those voids by either partnering or hiring or whatever they need to do, but fill those voids with people that are better at it and delegating those tasks to certain, people or teams or whatever it is. So that's a little bit of nuance, and they will learn that as they go. But as far as just menial tasks and things around the house and things like that, they're going to do it themselves. They've got a first default to, I can do all this myself. That teaches them independence, and that teaches them self-reliance, and it helps with their, avoid insecurities in some ways. If you do everything for them, they're going to start to build this mindset of, I can't do anything because I got this person over here, my parent or whoever it is, catering to my every need. That's not good. So what has that got to do with adversity? Nothing. That's the first part of it, in teaching them to think and act for themselves, right? So the first piece of overcoming something that's hard or something that seems impossible is the confidence and the independence to know you can do things alone, right? You can do things on your own. Stuff as simple as grabbing the popsicle, stuff as simple as getting a drink, something as simple as making their lunch for school, making their breakfast, washing their dishes, washing their clothes, things like that. These are just little chores that are very easy as parents to do for them, and it doesn't give them that those reps and doing things on their own and making mistakes on their own and stuff like that, dropping a glass of water or dropping a glass of milk or whatever, leaving a plate of food on the coffee table while they're eating a snack, walking away, and a dog eating it, right? I didn't do that. My wife didn't do it. They did it. So they have to learn to deal with the consequences that come with small decisions they make, right? So forcing them to be independent and think on their own and do tasks on their own, that aren't really that hard to do is, in my opinion, the first step of giving them the confidence that they can think through things and act through things on their own, which will ultimately set them up to default to that, to default to their own brain and their own abilities to get through adverse situations when they do arise, because they will. So, adversity. You know, I've talked a lot on here about my childhood, right? So I didn't face a lot of adversity in the sense of, you know, we weren't homeless. We weren't, you know, I, for all intents and purposes, I had a pretty normal childhood in the sense of I got to play sports. I had good friends. We did a lot of fun stuff and stuff like that. But I did have this adversity of, like, my dad not being around and me loving my dad and him not being there and, you know, just making bad choices. So that was adversity that happened, right? My mom didn't curate that. She did not intend for me to be raised by a single mom. That was not her intentions when she had me as her first child. She did not intend for my dad to have years and a lifetime essentially of drug addiction and, you know, stuff like that. That wasn't her intent, but it happened. So that was like some natural just life stuff that happened that just put adversity and hard times in front of me and my siblings and her. So we learned to deal with adversity that was not curated for us. You know, again, my mom didn't curate that. She didn't make that happen. My kids don't face any of that. They don't face out like I'm here. I'm as present of a father as you'll find. You know, they have their dad. They love their dad, which is me. And so they don't have any of that adversity. They have about as loving and caring of a mother you will ever find in my wife, Katie. They have wonderful grandparents that are there at the drop of a hat for whatever they need. They're at all the events and all that stuff. They have wonderful friends. They go to a local private school. It's a very tight-knit community. They get to play all the sports they want. They have a lot of fun toys, and, you know, we live in a nice farm where we get to play and hunt and do all those things. So they don't have a lot of natural adversity that some people have. So we have to, my wife and I, really put a lot of thought into curating adversity for them. And what do I mean by that? Our way of curating adversity for them is first and foremost through sports. Sports is my wife and I both played sports growing up. We understand what it can do for you if your parents and your coaches allow it to do that for you. And that is learning how to struggle, learning how to suck at something and then work really hard to not suck anymore, learning how to lift people up around you and encourage them, learning how to be a leader, learning how to compete. It's okay to want to win, but it's also okay to lose. I heard a quote just a couple days ago on a reel that popped up. The guy was talking about this topic, but he said that winners lose more than losers. Winners just never give up. And I love that. That is what we're trying to teach our kids, right? We want you to compete. We want you to try hard. We want you to get better. But along the way, as you evolve and get into more and more things, or you advance in whatever sport or activity you're in, you're going to go through periods of a lot of loss. And the only thing that separates you losing a lot and a loser that loses a lot is you're not going to quit. You're going to fight through it. You're going to use that as fuel to get better. And eventually, you'll start winning more. And then eventually you advance higher and you're going against people that are better than you again. And you're going to start losing more and you're not going to quit. You're going to fight through it and you're going to get better. And you're going to start winning more at that level. And then it comes another level. And it's just always this. Now, you've got your phenoms that, you know, are going to be winners. They suffer very few losses at whatever sport they are. And they're just good from day one and they're going to always be good and be elite. There's a handful of those out there. But for most kids, whatever level they're at and whatever activity they're doing, there's always, you know, a group that's better than them. And That's the group we always teach our kids. That's who you're going to chase, and that's who you want to compete against, right? And it's okay to lose and lose again and lose again, because you're going to learn through that, and you're ultimately going to become a winner. Not necessarily, it doesn't have to be in that sport or activity, but it's going to teach you how to be a winner at life. And that's adversity, right? So we have the ability as parents and coaches, because I coach as well, but we have that ability to teach these kids that perspective. Now, we can teach them all the skills we want to teach them. We can teach them, you know, how to, you know, have a better swing, or how to throw the ball better, or have a better swimming stroke. Like, my daughter loves swimming and my wife coaches her. We can teach them all the skills and fundamentals, right? But the most important thing we can teach them is that the only thing that matters through all of this is humility through winning. When they lose, humility through that as well, understanding that, you know, as long as they brought all they had to bring to it, that if they lost, the outcome is okay. And that's just going to give them fuel to get better. We can teach, that's the most important thing we have to teach as parents and coaches. So, unfortunately, I see a lot of the opposite of that. And again, as I've started this ramble off, I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to say that my perspective and approach, or my wife's perspective and approach, is the only way. I'm not saying that at all. It's the way for us. But I can give some examples, or just some observations of the other way as well, because I see it. It's front and center. I coach baseball teams that I have kids on those teams that have parents that have a different approach than maybe what we do. And there's a couple different approaches there. You've got how we kind of handle it, where we want our kids to be in the toughest possible situations, and we're okay with losing. Losing is applauded in our house as long as they did so with max effort. Right. And as long as they did so with the attitude of I'm going to try harder. You got me this time, buddy, but I'm going to get you next time. And if you don't get them next time, or the next 20 times, it's OK. You dust yourself off. You get back after it. You try harder. That's our relationship with winning and losing. We don't give a crap about the wins and losses. Of course, like wrestling just wrapped up. I love seeing my son win a wrestling match. I love it. But from his perspective, he's not going to see any difference in my response whether he wins and loses, right? I stand there right on the side of the mats filming every one of his matches. And when he's done, whether it's with his hand raised or him in tears because he lost, he's going to see the same reaction out of me. It's going to be a smile, and I'm proud of you, buddy. I'm proud of you. And that's all he's going to get. I'm not a wrestling coach. I don't coach him. He gets that from his coaches. I cannot and will not give him any advice about skills or technique or things he should have done differently, because that's not what he needs from me. He needs me to reinforce that whether you won or you lost, it's okay. The result is the same. And the result is you tried hard, and that's what we care about. And furthermore, you're going to continue trying hard, and you're going to continue to improve. So what we see, just observing, you know, other situations, you see a lot of parents that are so personally tied to those wins and losses, right, that they absolutely lose their mind when it doesn't go their kid's way, right? So, for example, you see a lot of kids at these wrestling tournaments. They're out there, mom and or dad on the sidelines screaming at the top of their lungs, which I'm fine with cheering your kid on. Like, I stay pretty quiet with my kid, and, you know, I praise them when we get home and stuff like that. And, but I'm okay. Also, my wife is very vocal. She cheers very loud, and I love it. But there's a difference in cheering and showing your kid, giving them, I mean, a lot of these kids are 6, 8, 10 years old, and giving them the, I guess, perception that you're impacted, like, tremendously by the result of what they're doing. So what do I mean by that? This is what we see. And for those watching on YouTube, you can see, but y'all can probably, if you're listening, you can picture what I'm talking about. Wrestling match. Kid gets up and kid loses the match. Parents screaming the whole time, get up, get up, get up. You know, all the things. Well, in wrestling, the kid knows to get up. It drives me crazy to hear a parent just saying over and over, get up, get up, get up. They know that. They know they got to get up. It's not that easy. But end of the match. Kid loses. They're already emotional. They look over at their mom or dad. Mom or dad are slapping their hands together, head down, shaking their head. Can't grab the kid fast enough to get them off the mat, to get in their face in a very emotional moment where the kid is, you know, just lost a match that they were trying very hard at, and start screaming at the kid, telling them all the things they did wrong. I've heard it. I mean, we were just at a state tournament couple weekends ago, and I heard it numerous times where a parent pulled the kid over. Do you even want to be here? Why are we even here? I mean, just saying awful things to their kid that was already emotional. What does that tell the kid? It tells them a couple things. That regardless of my effort, regardless of that, how hard I tried, my parents' satisfaction and pride in me is tied to one thing and one thing only, and that is me winning. When I don't get that result, I have disappointed them, I have failed them, and I'm an 8-year-old kid, and I don't know how to regulate that. I don't know how to deal with that. And what I learn over time, if that's going to be consistent right on to 10 years old, 12 years old, into high school, then how's that kid, what's the model for them of dealing with adversity, right? It is lose your temper, yell at whoever's around, not have a good attitude, not being humble, not being respectful to your opponent, all those things, because the model was set at a young age to be this way. Again, that's my perspective. That's my experience. And I fortunately didn't have that. Like my mom, again, like I mentioned, my dad wasn't around, but my mom was at every sporting event I went to. And no matter, like in baseball, I could strike out 4 times in a game, right? And I had a horrible attitude, and I put that on myself, right? Like I was super competitive, was terrible when I lost, terrible when I struck out or made an error or something like that. It was very hard on myself, but that did not come from my mother. My mother hugged me, loved me, gave me all the things I needed at where I was in life and with sports and, you know, with my age and all that stuff. It was always, I love you and I don't give a crap that you just struck out 4 times. I love you and I don't give a crap that you hit 4 home runs this game. I love you and I don't give a crap what the result, whether you won or lost. She never showed me that. You know who else didn't show me that? Was my grandfather, JJ. My son's name is JJ, but my granddad was JJ as well. She came to every single baseball game I ever played. He would sit there. He would cheer me on, tell me I'm proud of me, or that he's proud of me, whether I won or lost, and whether I did good or bad in the game. It was always going to be at the end of the game, he was going to take us out to dinner and or something, and he was just going to be happy. And that taught me that this is the way. It taught me that it's okay to fail. I had no fear of failing. I didn't like losing. I didn't like failing. That was just an internal thing, but I wasn't scared of it. And how has that helped me in life? Well, look at what I've, not when I say this, I'm not saying look what I've done from a successful standpoint, but look at some of the decisions I've made in life. I am not scared to make big decisions. I'm not scared of big moments. I'm not scared to get on stage and talk to 300-500 people. Doesn't scare me. I'm not scared to, y'all watch all these podcasts and listen to them. You know how much editing we do to these? Zero. None. When I started talking, this is my first take. It will be my last take. Nothing will be edited. I've never, ever once scrapped one of my rambles because, you know, I lost my train of thought or whatever. I am not scared of moments. And I'm that way because I am not fearful of the consequences that can come if I make a mistake, if I make an error, if I lose, because I know that I'm trying very hard at everything I do. And the people that mean the most to me appreciate that, respect that. And whether I win or lose, they're not going to carry the way because they still love me. So I was taught that at a very young age. And that has allowed me to take lots of leaps of faith. Hell, 2 years ago, I left my career, a very successful career that I was building for 17 years. I had built something else on the side that intrigued me more and that you know, just motivated me more, and I went after it. I probably wouldn't have that confidence in myself to take that leap of faith had I not been raised the way I was through all the things and, you know, the sports and the stuff I've dealt with and loved and appreciated the way I was from my parents, my grandparents and stuff like that. They made me realize at an early age and understand that regardless of the result, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm okay. And fortunately, I have a wife that treats me the same way. All she cares about is me, my health, my sanity, me being a good father, me being a good husband, and her being a good wife to me and a good mother to our children. That's all we care about. If we got that, then everything else is fine. We'll figure it out. So I want my kids to have that same, I guess, calibration on life, right? I'm at a young age, I have, as parents, we have the ability to kind of help guide them, help shape how they think through adversity and situations and stuff like that, help shape how they respond. Again, my son, much like me at his age, doesn't like losing, especially you get him out there wrestling. He, in most matches, if he doesn't come out on the winning end, he's going to have some tears. He's getting better with that, you know, but he's going to have some tears. And that has nothing to do with disappointing us coaches or anything like that. It's just some competitiveness within him, and he's going to keep working hard, and we're going to keep pushing him to work hard. And when things seem like he can't, you know, overcome this hurdle or this opponent, he's going to go out there, he's going to try his hardest, understanding he might lose. He's going to learn from it and try harder next time. So I think an important point to kind of start wrapping this up, because I've kind of gone all over the place, but I think hopefully y'all are following along with my mindset here. But I think a key point that I want to hammer home is, like, I want my kids will learn as they get older that they're capable of success, right? That they're capable of succeeding. They're going to learn that through all these things I've just talked about, through sports, through school, through whatever career path they take. They're going to learn that they're capable of success. At this point in their lives, it is important, not just important, it's imperative that I teach them that I want them to know that they're capable of struggle, right? They're going to learn that they're capable of success, and I'll help them learn that as they get older. But it's more important to me for them to know that they're capable of struggling. And I want them to be in situations where it's hard and it's challenging. And I want them to be in situations where their instinct is to quit and give up, but they push through. And they realize what I kind of started this with, that the most rewarding moments or on the heels of these types of situations when there was some struggle. And that could be something as simple as JJ trying to put together, build a Lego thing. You know, they have all these Lego kits that build. He loves that. Well, sometimes he'll get so frustrated, he'll knock the whole thing down when he's three quarters of the way through because he's hung up on one piece. So what do? I have a talk with him. JJ, this is something that may not seem like a big deal, but you wasted all of this effort because you got mad in one moment and knocked it down. You're going to start over. You're going to fight through this, but I can't. I can't. Then I respond with my typical, don't say that. You say, how can I? So you're going to rebuild it and you're going to finish it. And he'll sit up there and he'll finish it. And then we celebrate like hell when he finishes it, because we want him to know that, and same with my daughter, that you were at a point where you were about to quit. Going back to winners lose more than losers, because losers quit, winners do not. He was about to be a loser. He was about to give up on this really hard thing in front of him. We're talking about Legos, but at an eight-year-old, it's a big deal. He was about to give up on this thing. And this is a true story. This has happened. But he got his mess together. He gritted through it. Sometimes spent a lot of hours trying to figure out what thing, how it all fits together without our help. It was easy to step in and help him, or it's tempting to do that, but without our help, and he gets through the end, and we celebrate it. And we're teaching him and Emma through similar things that that reward, that feeling of, let's go, JJ, you figured it out. You fought hard. You worked your butt off. You almost quit, and you didn't. You saw it through to the end, and now doesn't this feel good? It does feel good, Daddy. And that teaches them, like, okay, that was another example. Chalk it up in the memory, in the mind of, I didn't want to finish something because I was losing at it, but I worked, I stayed in it, I fixed it, I finished it, and now it feels way better than it probably would have if I didn't go through that little roadblock that I hit. So I want them to know that they're capable of struggling, that they're capable of getting through adversity and coming out on the other end with a big reward. That's all I care about right now. That's all I want them to know, is that they're capable of adversity. If I don't teach them that now, how do you think they're going to handle when, like, if they go to college and they have some tough struggles there without mama and daddy there to help them through it? They're not going to do too well. They get further in life, or they get a job and the job just sucks and they're getting, working all these hours and not making a lot of money and blah, blah, blah. They're not going to do too well because they don't have any precedent to know how to, or experience where we've allowed them to work through struggles. They can't lean back on that. We want these kids to be well equipped to lean back on experiences of getting through hard things, experiences of getting the reward that comes on the back end of that, the experiences of losses, wins, all of that. So I've gone on really long on this ramble. We're at 36 minutes. So I appreciate you hanging in there and letting me flesh out all these ideas, and hopefully it just gives for those of you that maybe don't have a similar perspective, you know, you think it's, you maybe have a win at all cost mentality with your kids, or, you know, just give this a thought. And I invite you, reach out, you send me a message if you have different perspectives or want to challenge any of mine. I welcome that, because I'm not married to any of my ideas. I'm pretty confident that in everything I've just talked about the last 30 minutes, but I'm never married to it. And I love different perspectives, and I love when I get a different perspective shared with me that opens my eyes to something I hadn't really thought about, and especially if I can implement it and kind of better how I'm doing things. So I encourage and welcome all of that. But with that, that will wrap up another Burning the Ships weekly ramble, and I appreciate you guys hanging in there with me. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Burning the Ships. I want to give a special thanks to our sponsor, 608B Capital, helping real estate investors secure fast, reliable funding to fuel their boldest moves. If you're ready to take your investing to the next level, visit 608bcapital.com to learn more. If you found value in today's episode, please take a moment to rate and review the podcast. Your feedback not only helps us improve, but it also helps us reach more people who are ready to burn the ships and commit fully to their goals. And don't forget to share the episode with someone who needs that extra push to take bold action. I'll leave you with this. Burning the ships isn't just about removing the option to retreat. It's about unlocking the courage to charge forward. No matter the odds, the past is behind you and the future is yours to conquer. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time on Burning the Ships.